Welcome to the Culinary Now podcast, a food pod designed to dive deeper into the topic surrounding our industry. Today, we are coming to you from our quarantine confines. We're both in our living rooms doing this remotely.
We are all living in extraordinary times right now, and we're having to adjust to new sort of standard operating procedures of our lives. And a lot of that revolves around food. So if you're like us, you have lots of questions and concerns relating to how COVID or the coronavirus specifically relates to food.
Matt, you and I are both chefs. I'm actually married to a chef as well. So naturally, we're cooking a lot at home on a regular basis, which means we have to go to the grocery stores. But every once in a while, you just kind of want to take a break from cooking. You want to go out to eat and just kind of relax. And we're really missing that in society today.
Absolutely. And so I like to order takeout, not only because it gets a little bit old cooking every night, but also because the restaurant industry is under huge stress right now. And that's one of the best ways to support local business. But I still have a ton of questions. So I feel like we need to speak to an expert on this to really help clarify some of the misconceptions that are out there.
For sure.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, just wash your hands and stay home.
That's my Tiger King.
This is a spoiler alert, by the way.
I'm sorry, Matt, this is going to be a little bit of an editing nightmare.
My name is Bridget Sweet, and I am the Executive Director of Food Safety for Johnson & Wales University. And my background has always been in public health and food safety. And I'm also pursuing my doctorate in law and policy from Northeastern University. Expected completion, I know, right? Hopefully done this June. So we'll see how that goes underneath this stay-at-home order.
So Bridget, we brought you on because there is a lot of misconception out there, or there's a lot of information out there, some of it accurate, some of it inaccurate, about how the coronavirus, COVID-19, how it connects to food. And I think that everyone in this situation really looks to remain in control or to still have power over the situation. And you see this with people wearing masks in the grocery store, gloving up all the time, excessive washing of hands, which I think is obviously necessary. But we really want to dive into how the coronavirus works with food and, you know, some of the things that are out there, some of the misconceptions. So, you know, let's start right that. Like, is this spreadable through food?
As of now, all data suggests no. So, of course, the challenge is that we've been hit with this novel virus, and novel means it's new. We've not seen it before, and it typically comes from an animal source. But we've not seen it here before, and we were sort of unprepared. And the recommendations that were being made by the CDC were sort of based on best available knowledge at that time, which I know is frustrating for, you know, consumers, industry, as well as just people at home, because the stay-at-home orders have changed, the mask guidance has changed, the social distancing guidance has all changed. But it's really important to note that the food code is based in science to reduce the transmission of pathogenic organisms. So the food code is already created to reduce this type of transmission. So within the food code, there are employee illness reporting policies. You know, people aren't supposed to come to work when they're sick. And obviously, we all know, being an industry, that, you know, hand washing and proper glove use are vital to proper food service. So if your restaurant is already following the food code, you're already controlling for that risk of COVID-19 transmission, excluding social distancing. And that's where we run into the challenge, specifically in restaurants. So a lot of the guidance right now at the national level is that restaurants are allowed to stay open, provided they only allow carry out or take out service. And that's not because we're afraid people are going to get sick from food consumption or food preparation. We're afraid people are going to get sick from each other. And that social distancing is really the most important thing we can do to reduce this transmission, this community spread of COVID-19. So it's that 6-foot window. It's keeping people away from you in that 6-foot buffer unless they live in your home. And again, we see this challenge of varying social distancing assemblaging guidelines, where Massachusetts has reduced all assemblages to 10 people or less, and Rhode Island actually went even more so to 5 people. And in one town in Massachusetts, they've actually banned all assemblages, so you can't meet with anybody out in public.
You're talking about in restaurants, we already have these policies in place. What about now during the virus, even though restaurants can stay open? Do employees need to be wearing masks while they're preparing food? Is that going to be an issue or something that we should really be thinking about?
I think that there's, again, a lot of misinformation and a lot of misunderstanding with the new CDC guidance that masks are allowed or should be used by the general public. So there's a lot of misinformation, especially in the beginning. We saw a lot of mask use for people who didn't necessarily need to wear masks. In the beginning, the recommendation was only wear the mask if you have symptoms, because you are supposed to protect other people from getting sick. And now, because the symptom, it's been shown that more people are asymptomatic, meaning they're not showing specific symptoms and they could potentially be contagious, is why they want sort of the general public to wear masks. But that's when they're going out into grocery stores, and it's really difficult to keep that 6-foot separation at all times. My concern with this change in mask guidance is that not everyone knows how to properly wear a mask. And if you are going to use a mask and you have gloves on and you pull the mask up on your face and you fixed your mask 911 times in a 4-hour window, your mask is now completely useless. So again, there are some recommendations out there. There are some really nice guidelines from CDC for cloth mask usage. But again, it's still speaking to the fact that before you put your mask on, wash your hands. Don't play with your mask. When you take your mask off, wash it or have some sort of process to sort of wash the mask. And again, the other concern is that we see a lot of people wearing masks that aren't deemed for their common use. So we don't want people that are, you know, going grocery shopping or that are working behind the line in a restaurant wearing N95 masks, because those are really tailored for our frontline, our first responders and our nursing staff and medical professionals who are totally exposed to that. So that at the N95 means that 95% of particulates can be filtered through that mask. So it really helps protect them. If you're practicing social distancing, if you're practicing proper hand hygiene, and you're doing all these things right, the mask is really just sort of like a last line of defense. And the big concern right now with mask use is improper use, contamination of mask. And I think people think that if they have a mask, it's the end all be all, and they can go back out and do whatever they want. And it's really the biggest push right now is that social distancing.
You know, you mentioned mask, and, you know, I want to talk about gloves too, because I think that's the other sort of major conversation point, especially as it relates to food. So, like, let's say you are a restaurant employee and you are working in a restaurant now, just facilitating takeout and delivery orders. How do you, because you're not always going to be able to practice that social distancing when you're behind the line, because there's a certain amount of space and, you know, there's other people working there as well. What are some sort of best practices where are, if you are cooking and, you know, you have masks and you have gloves available, how to properly use those in sort of a restaurant setting? Is there any advice you can give to those people that are, I guess, sort of on the front lines of restaurants, like actually facilitating those takeout orders?
If you're facilitating a takeout order, there are some really good guidance from National Restaurant Association as to how to implement a contactless dining experience. And that just means that, you know, you can carry, you know, someone can order online, it pay via credit card, so you're really limiting that interaction. The current way a contact has been defined is up to 15 minutes or 15 minutes of more of close contact in that 6-foot window. And that's really how we're seeing a lot of the community spread. So if you are working in the restaurant industry right now, I mean, really, it's hand washing, hand washing, hand washing. And if you're going to wear gloves, wear them properly. Or when you're wearing gloves, wear them properly. We don't want to see people wear gloves, you know, 8-hour gloves. It doesn't do you any good. So if there's some sort of a timing mechanism that you can make sure you're properly washing your hands every 45 minutes or as you change tasks, whatever works. And there's really no one size fits all. And I think that's the challenge. We do see a lot of, you know, carry out people wearing gloves just to facilitate the interaction between the customer as they're sort of handing the food off. But again, there's no one single case that's been associated with what they call a smear transmission. So as of right now, all transmission has been person to person. There's nothing from, you know, a dirty surface or from, you know, a food packaging. We get that. That's a question that comes up a lot as well is, well, if I go grocery shopping or if I've gotten food from a takeout, do I need to wipe down, you know, do I need to wipe down the bag? Do I need to wipe down the carryout container? How can I just, you know, eat it? No, I mean, you can't. People are doing it because it makes them feel better, and I can't take away that peace of mind. But really, just wash your hands before you eat. Wash your hands when you come in the house. Take all the food out of the packaging. Wash your hands before you eat. Cool. You're good.
You know, I heard this really, you know, again, like, you're right. It is peace of mind. And you know, I actually fell into this when I first started getting all my groceries delivered, as I was a little bit skeptical of whether or not I should sanitize the boxes when they come in, because, you know, again, you just don't know. And, you know, if that does make you feel better, I heard this one remedy, though, if you are overly concerned about, and maybe Bridget, you can tell me if I'm completely out of left field on this. If you are overly concerned that rinsing fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, again, like if you are really concerned, maybe buy vegetables that you have to peel, you know, you're not going to eat anything fresh. But if you are want to go to the next level, I heard that if you mix 3 parts water and 1 part vinegar, it's a good solution to spray vegetables with. Again, is there any sort of benefit to that? Or is that, again, more peace of mind?
I think that's more peace of mind. And I mean, again, as being in the food industry and doing food safety and sort of auditing for a long time, vinegar has this like super awesome power in people's mind. You know, when I used to do audits, people, I don't need to wash and sanitize my cutting board. I use vinegar. We're good to go. No, not how that works. But again, if it's that peace of mind, I mean, I don't ever want to take that. People do things because it makes them feel better. That's fine. But I also want people to be mindful of, if you go food shopping, your produce is already a raw agricultural commodity. It's supposed to be washed and rinsed prior to consumption.
Correct.
So, and I think that's where people, you know, we actually, this is terrible, and but there was an incident yesterday that was sort of shared on social media about a patron at a Stop and Shop, I think, in Kingston, Massachusetts, and he was purposely like hacking on and coughing on produce. Mm-hmm. And an employee told him to stop, and then there was like a fight, and then the customers got involved, and now everyone's holding this man down. And again, that could happen. I mean, unfortunately, that could happen outside of the COVID-19 outbreak. So you never want to assume that your produce coming from any vendor, whether it's Wegmans, Stop and Shop, I don't, whatever supermarket, it is supposed to be washed prior to consumption.
Do you think that with everyone just being like hyper vigilant right now and wearing gloves and masks and really protecting themselves, and I know that there's a mask shortage, do you see that there might be a glove shortage coming with people overusing them or misusing them or hoarding them?
I think that is a real possibility. I mean, we have a toilet paper shortage. Whoever would have thought that toilet paper would be so hard to get? Right. But again, seriously, that's what we see, you know, all the time is, I have no toilet paper. I have no toilet, you know, where can I find toilet paper? It's going at us. And I don't I mean, I know there's some sort of emotional attachment or a control issue with that. But again, so yes, people do have a tendency to hoard. And then we saw the people that were sort of like buying all the hand sanitizer. And I got a phone call from someone who was super worried because they had no hand sanitizer and they were terrified. Well, you don't necessarily, again, hand sanitizer is great if you're out and about, but if you're home, hand washing is the most effective. And
wash your hands.
Exactly. Wash your hands. But again, hand sanitizer is only effective if it's 60% more or higher of that alcohol percentage. So what we've seen specifically in Massachusetts is a great deal of distilleries actually flipping over their operation and making hand sanitizer for our first responders. So there's just a lot of opportunity there for, you know, community partnership and goodwill. But Jamie, I think you're right. If we are still kind of going down this path, we may see some sort of a glove shortage. And it's a little bit scary. I talked to Matt last week and I was telling him how I went food shopping and I watched, you know, I'm a people watcher anyway, and I hate food shopping. I hate food shopping. I hate cooking. And, you know, I'm a people watcher. So as I'm going up and down the aisle, I'm watching people with gloves on, playing on their cell phones, touching packages, touching their mask that's no longer appropriate, going back to the, so there really was no point for those gloves. And then the worst part, watch people go out into the parking lot, take their gloves off, and either throw them in the carriage or throw them on the ground.
I know.
Is it really that difficult, people? Throw just it away.
So then it's like, what's the point of wearing gloves if you're not going to use them properly and or dispose of them properly? And a lot of times, I've seen people recently, when it was nice a few weeks ago, we were walking, people are driving with gloves on. So then they're bringing anything contaminated into their car. And I think you just have to use them properly, as with anything. And I think that's being lost.
It's a good point. Cause I mean, I feel like if you go to the store now, like, you know, with the recent developments, and they're advising people to wear some sort of face covering when they go out in public, which, you know, but you have to treat those situations almost as if, like, when you go out, you put the gloves on, you're very focused. You know, you have to make sure that you're not kind of falling into the traps of normal, or what used to be normal, life. Whereas you are picking up your phone, you are, you know, sort of touching your face. You have to be really, really diligent when you are going out into these settings to make sure that you're not contaminating what is meant to, you know, ultimately keep you safe.
Do you think that going through this is going to have an impact on what we see sanitation-wise in the future, both general public and restaurant-wise?
I think yes, to some extent. I think in general, the general public has a lot more information at their fingertips regarding food safety and sanitation. So I do teach the advanced food safety at Johnson & Wales, and I always tell the students, your customers are now all experts. They can now access your most recent health department report online while they're standing waiting for you. They know more than, customers now are much more they're in the know. So I think it's always going, sanitation and food safety should always be a priority. I think that we'll see a resurgence or sort of, I think hand washing and glove use may actually be more improved behind the line because people are that more cognizant and we are seeing it. It's not just food handlers have to wash their hands. I mean, they're telling everyone to wash their hands. Before, the week before the schools closed in Massachusetts, my fifth grader came home and his left hand was all cracked and bloody because they were making them wash their hands every hour and then apply sanitizer. Because again, they couldn't really do social distancing. There's 24 kids or whatever in a classroom. So I think we'll see a much more increased awareness of overall hand hygiene in general. And I do think based on some of the press conferences and some of the things that have been coming out, we'll probably see an overall reduction in handshaking. I think people are going to be a lot more hyper-vigilant and a lot more hyper-aware before they touch someone's hand. I don't think we're going to see that common hand extension when you meet someone for the first time. You might see like a little wave or, in the industry, we see a lot of like fist bumping. I do think that this is totally going to leave an imprint on that type of gathering situation.
So it sounds like there could be some, I guess, benefit from all this in the end is if it does sort of raise the level of, or raise the attention to being more diligent with your sanitation in the restaurant, which I know is something that, we all like to think that we practice proper hand sanitation and proper sanitation in general in restaurants. But I think that, if we're being honest, restaurants can be huge areas of contamination from tasting and things like that. So if there is some sort of benefit that comes out of this, maybe it's people just being more aware. I think that could be a really good thing.
Yeah, I think there's always, anytime you have a lot of competing priorities, there's always going to be a lot of opportunity. And now that we're sort of, into April, I think it's really important to note too that there was a lot of misinformation in the beginning of this outbreak, in the beginning of this pandemic, that people were so focused on that it came from China, people were deliberately avoiding going to Chinese restaurants. They were boycotting Chinese restaurants because to them, they could be sick from that type of food. And that is so not the case. Again, it was all from that community, that person-to-person transmission. And as long as your establishment and your employees are following the food code, as long as they're not coming to work when they're sick, as long as you're washing your hands, you're wash, rinsing, and sanitizing these areas, I do think we'll see, you'll be fine. The other thing, Jamie and Matt, that you had mentioned was I do think we'll see a much higher increase of disinfection on non-food contact surfaces. So for example, we know from being an industry that quaternary ammonia is not going to, remove a viral pathogen from, doorknobs, door plates, things like that. I think people are so much more aware now that and they're disinfecting twice a day for those high touch surfaces. I think establishments will be much more focused on that so that as they continue their normal cleaning procedures, they'll also hit these high touch areas with a different type of chemical to reduce that likelihood of any type of transmission, not just COVID-19.
I think that one thing I'm learning and seeing and with talking to you and other colleagues and friends, I think as much as this is terrible and we all are disliking what's happening right now in the world, I think there are some positives that are really going to come out of that. And I think more hyper-vigilance in the sanitation in restaurants is one of them. And I think we may even see a spike in, contactless delivery for takeout even, and where that can take the industry. I think that a lot of things that are created happen from times like this. I think a lot of good can also come out of times like this. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how this is all affected maybe a year later, a year from now.
I think you're right. And I also think it's important to note that one of the challenges from working in industry, employees aren't, they're told they have to follow the food code and they have to call out of work when they have these symptoms. But sometimes not every business owner will take that into consideration. There's a lot more focus on that now. So I think we'll see a little bit more, I don't want to say flexibility, but maybe more opportunities for, you know, for sick time or less penalty if you do happen to call out sick with these specific symptoms. I think that industry in general is really understanding how important employee illness reporting and employee hygiene is. So we'll see, you know, continuous improvement in that realm as well.
So let's kind of bring it back here. So delivery, it's safe. Yes, right? I mean, no one needs to be worried about the food that's coming into their house. Just wash your hands. Make sure that you are practicing good social distancing and you're kind of eliminating that person-to-person contact. Also, like once the food's in your house, wash your fruits and vegetables. Make sure that everything is sanitized if you want, but washing is sufficient, correct?
Yes.
Cooking. Does it matter if you cook the food or is it okay to eat it raw as long as you wash it?
Well, what kind of food are we talking about? I don't want you eating raw chicken.
Let's talk about like apples, fresh fruit.
Okay, what about it? You don't have to cook it. You can eat it.
So food, safe. Delivery, good. Keep social distancing. Let's bring it back a little bit and talk about maybe our projections for the future, though. Because I think, Jamie, you mentioned something really good that this could have benefit into sort of changing the industry in a positive way. Bridget, in your opinion, like, what won't be the same? Like, you know, you said maybe less handshaking. Is there anything else, you know, in your eyes that from a food safety standpoint in restaurants is going to dramatically change either for the better or for the worse?
I definitely think we'll see an increase in contactless dining, as Jamie sort of mentioned. I'm curious, and again, this is all sort of hypothetical, but I do wonder if this will change some of the impact on hepatitis A vaccination within industry. So we do see sort of pockets of Hep A sort of outbreaks, and some restaurant operators or owners mandate that their employees have that vaccine. It's not a national recommendation at this time. So I'm curious, just because in general, we know how things spread, if this type of illness and pandemic will encourage more people to seek that vaccine, or encourage more operators to sort of offer that vaccine voluntarily at no cost to the employee.
I mean, and I think the biggest thing that we can really take out of this is wash your hands and don't be gross. Like, really, I think that sums it up. And I think that's just general good personal hygiene.
I think that's pretty much it. Wash your hands. If you're sick, stay home. And really just adhere to those social distancing guidelines. Just because you feel well doesn't mean you're not going to create a risk for someone who is either immunocompromised or elderly or whatever the case is. So like, I get it. The social distancing is terrible. I have 4 kids. They haven't left the house in weeks. So it's not fun. It is so not fun. And I get that it's a challenge, but by making these small steps together, we can hopefully reduce this spread and be back to normalcy before my littlest kid graduates from high school.
Do you think we'll be back? Do you think this is going to happen
us coming
sooner
back
than later?
Honestly, no, because there's so much non-conformance and non-compliance with social distancing. There are so many people who think that it's not going to impact them or it doesn't matter to them. So again, we're seeing it depending on where you live. You know, I'm in Massachusetts. I think you guys are both in Massachusetts. They've started actually, I know this isn't food related, but you know, now they've locked up all the playgrounds. They've locked up all the basketball courts. They've locked up all the tennis courts because people just aren't listening. So they've said that the status has been, okay, well, you can walk trails. You can walk out in public as long as there's air exchange and you're still not with people that you don't live with, and you still see cars and cars of people rolling in, getting out together, and people walking the trails 15, 20 people deep. That's not helping. And the more you do things like that, the longer our stay-at-home order is going to last. We're going to be staying at home until forever if we can't get ourselves together and stop being selfish.
You know, it's funny, like we were talking about golf courses the other day too, because
people were very upset. Did you see what happened in Massachusetts? The people that drove?
The people going into Rhode Island, and they switched. They did like, it was like a drug deal. They switched cars in Dunkin' Donuts parking lot to go into
Listen, McDonald's. They were like, "There's a Massachusetts plate here, and it's been here for several hours." So they called the like people are hyper vigilant right now, you know. So they called the police, and the police were like, "Dude, what are you doing?" And these people, they were in the same car, so absolutely no social distancing. So now you're not 6 feet apart. You're breathing each other's cootie breath and whatever else. Oh, it just drives me nuts.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And like, maybe it's just because my golf game is atrocious, but like, I can go without golfing right now. You telling me you literally can't go without like playing 18 holes? Like, get over yourself.
That's what it comes down to.
Oh, it kills me.
That's crazy.
Because as someone who's stuck inside, you know, and again, like you're right, you're like, you have kids or you're very contained, you know, other people's stupidity is really making this longer for me. That's, I get very upset with that. But anyway, I'll digress.
Before we let you officially go, Bridget, I do have to bring a little light to this. I do have a fun question for you. What is the last show or movie that you watched? I'm gonna
get it. Tiger King. I'll be very
totally
happy
Tiger King. Yes, and I saw today. This is how crazy I am. They're making another one. There's going to be a new episode released next week. So all you, hey, what do you mean, hey, all you cute cats and kittens, just wash your hands and stay home. You know what the best part is? And everyone that I've known that's watched it has called me or texted me when they start watching it, because there's this truck that backs up and it this is a spoiler alert, by the way. So this truck backs up and dumps all this expired food from Walmart, and the people that work at the whatever it is get to pick first before they feed it to the cats. Are you kidding me? It is like, it's food safety tears.
Bridget, I really appreciate it. I know this was kind of all over the place, but I think that it was a good way to connect. And hopefully people listening to this can feel a little bit more at ease about the way they operate around food and knowing just to be a little responsible in certain situations and everything's going to be okay. So
for sure. And I think it helps people feel comfortable being able to support their favorite restaurants and their local restaurants and not have to be worried that they're going to contract this through getting takeout, because right now we know that our restaurant industry is suffering. And I think being able to support your favorite restaurants and chefs by getting takeout, if they are offering that, is a great way to help them and to know that
I couldn't agree with you more.
Really,
and I think
really
it's
important.
I mean, we're ordering takeout a couple times a week as well, just to support industry, you know, local businesses here in Franklin, but also because I don't like to cook. But I think again, it's really important to note that we need to support this industry, and they're the ones that are actually deemed essential. They're still working for us, so we should respect that. And if nothing else, we can't wash our hands and stay home. At least maybe we could be kind, because people are really starting to not be nice, especially to our food service employees. So if we could just be patient, be kind, order takeout. Matt, I'm going to order Santa Fe tonight, so don't be jealous.
Santa Fe in downtown Franklin, Massachusetts is a great burrito shop. So if you're local to this area, support them, because those guys do a great job. So thanks again to Bridget Sweet for taking the time to provide us some important information and guidance on how we should be handling and preparing food during this global pandemic.
For sure. And as always, if you have any questions or suggestions for upcoming episodes or any feedback, please reach out to us. You can find us on Instagram or Facebook, our new Facebook page, which are both at Culinary Now Podcast, or via email podcast@jwu.edu.
So stay tuned and hit that subscribe button on your favorite streaming site. Like us on social media, of course, and leave us a great review.
Yes, your reviews and comments and feedback really help us to provide some great content that's relevant for you, the listener.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
How long will the love that's been a long, long fight? How long they lie, we ain't scared of dying. We're gonna draw the line. Don't tread on me with your monarchy. Well, this country's growing old at last. We're the bread and the boat. At last.
And we out.